Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you're an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know that we would love to hear from you. So send us your an email with your question or your comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com. And today we're very excited to have Anthony DiStefano joining us again today. Anthony is a best-selling author, a longtime friend of EWTN, and his newest book is a Christmas book for children with a very unique approach. And it is entitled Christmas in Heaven, and it's available at EWTNRC.com. And we're going to have a wonderful conversation with Anthony about this beautiful book.
I also wanted to mention something about my older brother, Patty Pasquale Pinto, and it was such a beautiful thing for him. He's an educator, a coach, a teacher, and they dedicated a scoreboard to him at Voorhees High School in, I think it's New Lebanon, New Jersey. And it's such a nice thing. It says Pat Pinto's scoreboard. And so for his success there at that school, his coaching, outstanding football coach, outstanding track and field coach. I think he was inducted to the Hall of Fame in the area of track and field, his contributions. And so it's a beautiful part of his legacy that's happening there. And you know, I just want to say that I really believe that those people at Voorhees really gave him this, not only for his success, but because of his character, because of his virtuous life. And anybody who knows my brother Patty just knows the man of integrity that he is, his love for young people, and he really is an educator. And to him, coach is like, it's like a sacred thing to him. It's like a vocational call.
Pure vocation.
And he's developing all these kids over the years, and they all remember him. And Patty is friends with so many people who love him. I love him as my older brother. And it's funny because he's the school board's named after him, but I don't think Patty ever scored a point as a football player. He was a lineman. But, you know, he has scored big in his integrity, in his character. In the young people that he has formed and shaped as a husband for 60 years. He's scored big there. He's a father, he's a grandfather, and he's a friend to people like closer than a brother, he is a friend. So, and he's also, we talked about the liturgy one day with Patty. I said, Patty, what moves you in the liturgy? What's your favorite part? And Patty said this to me, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. That's his, one of his favorite parts of the liturgy. So I know he receives this honor in that same humility. So we're gonna speak with Anthony DiStefano. It's gonna be a wonderful show with his new Christmas book. We'll be right back, plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we are excited to have Anthony DiStefano joining us today. Anthony is a best-selling author and a longtime friend of EWTN. And his newest book is a Christmas book for children with a very unique approach. And it is entitled Christmas in Heaven. And this beautiful book is available at EWTNRC.com. Well, Anthony, welcome to At Home with Jim and Joy. We're excited to have you. And this is your fifth Christmas book that you've authored. So tell our family about the other books that you've authored also about Christmas and why this book.
Yeah, you know, I'm always interested in writing books about the true meaning of Christmas. One of my favorite authors in the world is Charles Dickens, and he used to come out with a new Christmas book every single year. We only remember one of them now, A Christmas Carol, but during his lifetime, all his Christmas stories were very popular, and they gave great joy to everyone during the holiday season. So I've always admired him. You know, today it's more important, I think, to do that than ever because Christmas has obviously been secularized almost beyond recognition. So I've written several books. I think I've been on your program for a few of them about the Nativity, seen from different perspectives. You know, from the perspective of the Star of Bethlehem. There's a story called Little Star. There's a story about a grumpy old ox who is in the manger where Jesus was born, and also a story about Joseph's donkey, which I did a couple of years ago. So, you know, there's been this attempt by the secular society to take our most sacred holidays and transform them into almost pagan rituals and celebrations that don't have any trace of Christian teaching or Christian morality. And it's not just Christmas, it's Easter too. It's Halloween as well. Halloween was and is a very holy Christian day. So I'm always trying in all my writing not only to entertain children and to impart a theologically correct message, but where possible, I want to do my little part to, you know, try to take back these holidays. That's why last year I wrote a children's book called The Story of the First Easter Bunny, which was about a rabbit who witnesses the crucifixion and the resurrection. And it's why I continue to write children's Christmas books. It's all part of a fight to try to reclaim from the culture what belongs to us. And so this is just another attempt to do that, but from a slightly different angle.
Yeah. Well, as you're sharing that, I'm thinking about how important to me my reversion to the faith was, the incarnation. Of course, you're dealing with the nativity. The incarnation takes place in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary through the word of the angel of the Lord, and he becomes incarnate, a little zygote, embryo, fetus, and now reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is so profound. But we're speaking about the importance of Christmas, of the nativity. And for us as Christian people, as Catholic people, you said how important it is in this time, how important it is to defend the major doctrines of the faith. I mean, if people realize, if we realize as Christian people, that God with skin, God made poor, God with the face, walked the face of the earth. So we don't know everything about the Lord, and his ways are not our ways, but we can tell you this. The apostles, especially St. John, says, we saw him, we touched him, we examined him, you know, we beheld his glory. And this is what the world needs to be shaken up to understand, as beautifully as you put it in the Christmas story for a young child. The adults need to understand that. What are the implications of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, walking the face of the earth in nativity? So I'm not surprised that you've written 5 books on it and others have, because it's so essential to our faith and culture.
And of course, also, you know very well, as you have in the past, we've worked hard in the pro-life movement. And so the incarnation, the idea that God became human and first became a zygote, as you said, and an embryo and a fetus, that's very important to the pro-life movement, this idea that even the smallest among us have infinite value. We're all made in the image and likeness of God. So, yes, that is another reason why I continue to write Christmas books.
Well, Anthony, this beautiful book, Christmas in Heaven, has a little unusual kind of plot. Where did you get the idea for it, and can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. The idea goes way back to when I was a kid growing up in Brooklyn, believe it or not. When I was a little boy, I didn't really understand why we gave each other presents at Christmas time. I didn't make a connection. And I remember asking my father when I was very young about this. And the way that he explained it was that Christmas was Jesus's birthday. And since we couldn't give Jesus a physical present because he was in heaven, we should give presents to each other, since that is what makes Jesus happiest. Now, this was a very easy concept to understand. All kids understand birthdays and gift giving at birthdays. So from an early age, I knew that Christmas wasn't just the celebration of Jesus's birth, it was Jesus's birthday. And that's a very important distinction for kids. And that childhood idea is what led me a few years ago to asking myself, you know, well, how exactly do they celebrate Jesus's birthday in heaven? Obviously, as adults, we know that there must be great joy in heaven at Christmas time, celebrating the incarnation. But for little kids, I think it's much more understandable that they can picture a birthday party of sorts. And naturally, that led me to ask myself, well, who would be at such a party? And the answer was, of course, the angels and the saints. The way I was able to make this into a story, because everything is better for children as a story, of course, and for adults too, is to have a little boy who is sad because his grandmother has died. And it's Christmas time, and he's wondering what she is doing in heaven at Christmas. And so he asks his grandfather, who is the husband of the woman who has died, how is she celebrating Christmas in heaven? And the grandfather sits the boy on his knee, and he tries to paint a very consoling a picture for him of heaven and the big birthday celebration that's going on there with all the angels and the saints and, of course, Our Lady and Jesus and, yes, his grandmother, too. So that's the genesis of this book.
Well, you're doing a lot in the book, that's for sure. I mean, you're really dealing with, well, the nativity. How does that relate to heaven, the celebration that's there? Who is there? You're dealing with this young boy who's grieving, so you're dealing with loss. Mm. You're dealing with the fear of, you know, possibly death, anxiety about that. You're dealing with family, the grandfather's faith, speaking to this young lad about, you know, what's taking place here, his perspective on it. And, you know, I think of the verse that says, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" You know, the sting of death is sin. But praise be to God who gives us the victory over our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a very, in some ways, very tender, serious images that you're giving us with a young boy who's lost his grandmother. I understand that from losing my mother at a young age, the fears in that, but also people who shared with me the hope of eternal life. I can remember my mother's funeral. I was 5 years old, and I can remember her there in the casket, coming out in front of the funeral home, crying and weeping. And then what my sister-in-law, Carrie, who's the wife of my brother, Patty, who I just spoke about in the first segment, and she looked at me and she said to me, "Jimmy, you will see your mother again." Well, I mean, we hope to. We will see your mother. But, you know, I said, "What did you say?" I said, "You will see her." I said, "When?" She said, "In the next life." And I said, "Then I can wait." And that's what you're doing in this book from that standpoint. Maybe I'm over-dramatizing that, but I understand the anxieties and fears of a little boy and what our faith can do and the hope, because death doesn't have the last word. And there's a whole family in heaven that you're going to meet besides your seeing your mother again. Unpack that more.
Well, you know, I was at the beginning when I conceived this book, I was a little bit worried about all the different things that was going to go on in the book, as you pointed out. But I think they all came together pretty organically.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about Christmas, we think about Jesus. When we think about Jesus, we think about heaven.
Yeah.
We think about heaven, we think about the angels and the saints, and yes, we think about death too. It's all part of one spiritual package. It's all part of life and telling the whole story about life. Yeah. As you know, from interviewing me in the past, I never shy away from talking about death, because that's something that all of us, including children, have to deal with. We all have to deal with the death of loved ones at some point. Children often grieve the death of their pets, the death of their grandparents, and many other kinds of permanent loss that they experience. It's very, very important that we don't sweep these sad feelings that they have under the rug, where those feelings can fester and grow and transform into complexes and depressions and phobias and all kinds of psychological problems. You know, fortunately, as Christians, as you said, we believe that death does not have a final word. The final word is resurrection and life everlasting in heaven. And that's a tremendously consoling belief that can help us deal with grief in a healthy way. And I want to say one other point about heaven, too. I think it's important to talk to children about heaven from a very early age. The
yes.
subject of heaven, when you think about it, is very, very easy for children to understand. Heaven is just God's home. When people die, and those people love God, they go to live in God's home. They just move homes. They go from their home on earth to God's home in heaven. And that's something that all children can understand because they're very familiar with the concept of going over their grandparents' house or their aunt's apartment or to a different building or to a school. They understand the concept of moving from place to place. So the more we're able to show children how wonderful a place heaven is, the more consolation they'll experience when they're grieving about the person who's moved to that place.
Well, and you do it so well in all of your books, because the book is not just for children, it is for adults. And you would hope that the adults who are trying to console the children, and we've seen this in so many families, if they don't have the facts, they're going to fill that void or fill that answer with non-truth, right? And so, they make things up as they go, and it's kind of like, and sometimes it gets even more confusing. And so here, for people who haven't even been formed of what heaven and death and how that all that implies, it's also a catechesis for adults as they read this too, in the great hope that they too would come to know their faith in that way. And you do that throughout your books.
Thank you. I hope so. You know, ever since I started writing children's books, I'm very, very aware that many of these children are not reading these books themselves. The parents are reading these books to the kids, grandparents, aunts, uncles, older siblings. And many times, if the books are good, and I hope my books are good, the children are asking these adults to read these books to them multiple times, 10, 20 times. So why in the world would I miss that opportunity to catechize adults, to remind them of truths that maybe they've forgotten or need to be reminded about? So I always try to put levels in these books, layers, so that it's not only entertaining for children, but also that even adults can get something out of them.
Yeah. Yes. You do that so well, and you've incorporated the saints. Mm. So tell us about the incorporation of the saints in this book.
Well, I thought that in addition to being a Christmas story, this book could also serve as an introduction to the saints and the angels. So I try to include some of the most famous ones that everyone would recognize, like St. Michael the Archangel and St. Peter and St. Joseph and St. Francis and St. Patrick and St. Therese and Joan of Arc and naturally Our Lady. But I also included some lesser known saints like you were speaking about earlier before the show started, St. Honoré, the patron saint of baking, because of course we need to have a birthday cake for a birthday yes. party, and he's the patron saint of baking. I should also say that I picked the saints and angels not just for their fame, but for the role that they could play in the story. Yes. The story yes. always has to dictate everything. That's the most important thing. That's what's going to entertain yeah. the children. That's what's going to teach the children. So I wanted these angels and saints not just doing random things, but doing right. things that they're known for. Things that they're patron saints of. For instance, mm-hmm. we have St. Francis surrounded by animals and St. Nick placing presents under the tree, St. Anthony finding a present that was lost, and St. Joseph building a manger because he was a carpenter, and St. Therese handing out flowers. And at the end of the book, I don't know if you've noticed, yeah. we publish a simple little glossary mm-hmm. with a little paragraph describing the most important things about each saint and has a little thumbnail illustration so children and adults can refer back to the book.
No, that's really
super. No, it's excellent.
Super. We use the glossary mm-hmm. again and again. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many saints you got here. It looks like 30 or 40 saints. And as you said, it's so neat how much of it you want to share, because some of it's, you know, really interesting. Like St. Lucy's here, and she's, you know, decorating the tree. She's putting the lights on the tree. And then I yes. thought to myself, well, who's St. Lucy? Well, St. Lucy had her eyes taken out before she was totally martyred. So it's like, you know, how much you want to share or not, but it's kind of like, wow, how God redeems, how God goes beyond. She can see in heaven. She's decorating the tree for Jesus here. Well, we're going to take a break at this point. We're going to hold you over, Anthony, for the final okay. segment for several minutes. So plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, we're finishing up our conversation with Anthony. And one of the things that in the book, it's a serious concept, right, of death and the little boy's grandmother and heaven and Christmas and how all that goes. But yet at the same time, you managed to make it rather humorous. So how did you manage that in the seriousness of it all, but yet at the same time you incorporated the saints and kept it on the humor side?
Well, you know, it goes back to what we were discussing before. It's a serious book because it involves death and grieving, but I also wanted it to be a fun book and a happy book, too, because ultimately, the Christian view of life and death is extraordinarily optimistic. As Jim said before, we don't believe that death has the final word. We believe that the final word is resurrection and life everlasting in heaven. So it was important to me that the book be upbeat and positive as much as it could be. And the way I tried to accomplish this was through the playful way that we portrayed the saints. As I said before, all the saints and the angels in this book are depicted doing things that they're famous for.
Yeah.
And that can have a humorous side. So, for example, St. Martha, who is kind of the star of the book.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're wondering about that four times or five times. But go ahead.
Well, she's kind of a comical figure in the Gospels, too. You know, she's always constantly cleaning and cooking and doing chores, just as she did in the Gospels. And as she's doing this, St. Francis of Assisi barrels through the door, accompanied by a whole crowd of cats and dogs and sheep, donkeys. And St. Martha, of course, is behind with a broom trying to sweep, because presumably the animals have made quite a mess. And of course, we have St. Jude, who is the patron saint of miracles and hopeless causes, helping St. Martha out with a vacuum cleaner. So these are all rather lighthearted and playful depictions of the saints. And they're meant to bring a smile to the face of adults and children and to help them deal with the more serious aspects of the book in a more hopeful way. Because it's easier to talk about grieving if you're in a positive state of mind. As long as you don't trivialize the grieving, and I don't think we do in this book. You know, I tell my atheist friends that the difference between Christians and unbelievers isn't that Christians grieve or suffer any less than unbelievers. It's that we suffer and grieve with hope. Mm-hmm. That's the big difference. And so I wanted this book, even though it's about a very serious topic, to have hope. And the way we did that is in the, as I said, the playful depiction of the saints.
Well, I could see how you could read this book through several times, because you could address so many different issues. But the whole thing of the saints and the context in which they're in, and you have a beautiful one that I think is just really about the arts. Cecilia and Gregory sing a duet. They're joined by two angels to make a quartet. And so there's music in heaven. There's that kind of worship in heaven. And you've got here St. Gregory, and so that from which we get Gregorian chant.
That's right.
So that's great. And then you got St. Cecilia, right?
Patient saint singing, a martyr who died.
Right. And then you got St. Luke, who's possibly painted the first image of the Blessed Virgin Mary, right?
That's right.
And so it's all these arts here, yeah.
Yeah, every single saint there is doing something they're well known for, and or that they've become famous for down through the ages. We have St. Valentine handing out chocolate hearts on a tray.
I love it. You know,
somebody's got to be serving hors d'oeuvres at a party. So again, you know, I hope no one is so serious in their Catholicism that they're solemn and don't like the humorous way we've handled this. It's all meant in good fun to teach children an upbeat, happy message about heaven.
Anthony, thank you so much for another wonderful book. There's a lot more to unpack here, so we thank God that you're going to be with us tomorrow as well. So the name of the book, again, Christmas in Heaven, Anthony DeStefano. And so please get that book, EWTNRC.com, or go to his website. And you're an important part of this family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.